Chapter 6, Stripping Back to the Core Values. Core values and finding out what they are. Every company has something which brings in the customers, the core values of the company or brand. Core values can, however, be lost from sight as time goes by. An entrepreneur starts a business and wins sales because he or she offers individual service, is a talented engineer, thinks nothing of putting in long hours and extra effort to make sure the customer is satisfied. The core values are dedication and engineering excellence. This formula results in the company growing, eventually gaining a momentum which continues to bring in the business. Customers return again and again, and this brings a new dimension. Its long-established position becomes the reason for buying, though in truth there's nothing special about the company which others couldn't match or better. Many small companies have as their credo high service levels. As the companies grow, as the proprietors get rich, they lose the desire to work long hours and put themselves out for customers, who could even be seen as intrusions in the smooth running of the business rather than vital to its survival. The service levels fall away, and so does the business. A dependency on past values, which may no longer be evident, can mislead a company into thinking that it has a divine right to custom. Since customers keep coming back, an assumption is made that this will always continue. What caused the company to grow is forgotten. In time, the reputation of the company proves to be insufficient to pull in the customer, and eventually, the company will slow down and could die. Sometimes companies have a life cycle determined by their products, but more often their life cycle is determined by creeping indifference. Companies are beginning to look increasingly similar in many markets. Technology is available to any company at a price. Ways of making things have been refined, and everyone understands and follows best practice. Large companies run by professional managers regress towards the centre, watching what competitors do, picking up the best ideas, and often as not, taking safe decisions to protect their own hides. Eventually, all companies look the same and none stand out from the rest. If a company concentrates on the core values, such as making superbly reliable trucks, then it can afford to become more adventurous and try to delight customers by finding something extra beyond the crucial elements of the offering. If it fails to differentiate by giving customers that little bit more, then despite excelling on the core values, it will join the morass of companies in being seen as just another manufacturer. The point of branding is to create a distinctive image, which is underpinned by core values and some extras, which distinguish the company from all others. The idea is to make this proposition as simple as possible, preferably distilling the core value to just one word. There are techniques for finding out what people think of a company and what they believe to be its core values. However, before carrying out this important research, deep, clear thinking is required. Managers should at least have a hypothesis as to what makes their company different and why people buy from it. Here are 10 questions to ask about your company when determining its core values and features which distinguish it from others. 1. Knowing what I do about my company, why would I buy its products in a free market? 2. What is it that makes my company different from others against which it competes? 3. When people look around my company, what is it that impresses them? 4. How important is that factor in influencing people to buy from my company? 5. What is the single most important reason why people buy from my company? 6. When people have written us letters of thanks, what is it that has pleased them? 7. How could we differentiate our company by building on these features which delight our customers? 8. Who would people buy from if they didn't buy from my company, and why? 9. What are people getting from other suppliers that they don't get from my company? 10. What could we lift from what other companies do well and do it even better? Obtaining answers to these questions could in part come from sitting on a hilltop and considering what makes your company special, speaking to colleagues in your company, but especially it will come from talking to customers. If this exercise is informal, all the better, since in opening question, you're more likely to be successful in drawing out the real strengths and weaknesses. Any attempt to force people's views into boxes at this early stage would imply that the answers have been anticipated, and this means there's a danger that some vital ones may have been missed out. And if the questioning is not wholly scientific, this doesn't matter, as its purpose is not so much to come up with definitive answers, but to arrive at hypotheses which can be set up for testing. A useful method of keeping a finger on the pulse is to read widely on the market, taking in publications special to the industry and business journals which provide a context. These provide a feel for the issues of the day. They will, of course, differ from industry to industry, but common themes at the time of writing are managing costs, quality, maybe ISO standards, productivity and output per man, the impact of business on the environment, short to time scales for plans of all types, safety in the workplace, stress in the workplace, empowerment of the workforce and home working, globalisation and the internationalisation of markets, customer satisfaction and loyalty. The core values of a company may need to change in the light of these matters of current concern. The British manufacturers of machine tools, which were overspecified and made to last 50 years, failed to listen to the changing needs of the market. Instead, rapid advances in technology and requirements for faster payback periods were recognised by the Taiwanese, who responded by making cheaper but perfectly adequate machine tools capable of lasting 10 to 15 years and bristling with new technology. Let's have a look at how qualitative market research can help. Core values depend on the needs of the market, and research in the market is essential to reveal what they are. It's not enough to rely on self-analysis, as useful it can be for forming hypotheses about what the market wants and seeing how closely a company meets these needs with its core values. Customers and other players in the market must be consulted as part of a planned approach. It's not appropriate at this stage to go straight into a large interview program. It may not be possible to construct the right questions and to use appropriate terminology. At the start, it's important to obtain an understanding of the fundamental issues, and this requires qualitative market research. Qualitative market research seeks to find out what makes people tick. From a small number of interviews, it aims to provide a grasp of the fundamental issues. It will not provide a measurement of these factors, but it will ensure that a full comprehension exists of what really matters. Questioning customers is crucial to finding out the core values of the brand, and there's an obvious temptation to employ the sales force for this task. Certainly, salesmen should learn about their customers through asking questions, but they do not constitute the most dispassionate of researchers. They could have reasons for wanting to cover up stories which would make their life harder. Through being persuasive by nature and training, they may not be able to frame their questions in an unbiased fashion. Equally, respondents may feel threatened by answering salesmen's questions, sensing some sort of pressure which could ultimately lead to a compromising situation once the discussion moves away from fact-finding and on to selling. Biased questioning and distorted answers rule out salesmen as market researchers in most situations. There are occasions when in-house questioning of customers could have a part to play,